Well, they're in there. The whole gang.
So you were right.
Thought we were getting drowned for nothing, did you?
Listen to that cough of yours. Spare me the bedside manner, Doctor.
I wish that's what it was.
You shouldn't be out in this. I thought we'd agree.
Watson, tonight is the climax of 3 months' work, and you seriously expected me to stay at home with a warming drink.
I'm fine. When did you last eat a proper meal? Or get a decent night's sleep?
I tell you, I can cope with it.
Do you think I don't know what you've been using to help you cope with it? Holmes! Holmes!
The Devil's Foot by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Patrick Allen as Dr. Leon Sterndale, Jeffrey Beavers as the Reverend Roundhay, and Sean Arnold as Mortimer Tregennis. The Devil's Foot.
Just smell that air. The best medicine in the world.
Watson, I had no need of your medicines in London, and I have no need of them now, natural or otherwise.
Must I remind you that I'm the doctor?
The work has to be done.
Not at any cost. You might have died, Holmes.
I doubt if the experience would have been noticeably different from the cure. Poldew Bay? You're not content with dragging me to Cornwall. It has to be the furthest possible extremity.
Now, come on, confess it. It's the holiday you hate, not the place.
Bad.
Yes, I thought so. You like it here just as much as I do. And with good reason. It's magnificent.
Have you noticed how quickly the wind turns? There's 1 minute the water's sheltered and safe, the next it's treacherous. This whole bay is a death trap.
That's a gloomy sort of observation.
Look inland. A whole race of people lived here, and now they've vanished completely. Nothing left but a few burial mounds and stone monuments. The place encourages gloom.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it gloomy. Romantic, yes. It has mystery. If there are ghosts, then this is the place for them. I think it's inspiring.
You're not the only one to think so. So sterben wir ungetrennt. Einig, einig, ohne End. Ohne Wachen, ohne Bangen. Namenlos, in Liebumfang.
That's beautiful.
It's by Wagner. Tristan and Isolde. Act Two. It's set here. On the Cornish coast.
What do the words mean?
They're a hymn to love.
Yeah, you see? Romantic.
And to death. So let us die. And never part. Together for the rest of time. No more waking. No more fearing. Nameless, endless, loving, sharing. Existing only in each other. Wrapped in love and death. And darkness.
What a glorious day. Makes one glad to be alive. It's not often I can have the windows open this early in the year.
I thought Cornishmen were a hardy breed, Vicar.
Well, Doctor, I'm sorry to say that some of us are hardier than others. Isn't that so, Mr. Tregennis?
Yes.
What about you, Mr. Holmes? Is our Cornish air to your liking? Oh, your cup's empty. More tea?
Thank you, no.
Another slice of seed cake, then.
Yeah, go on, Holmes. Delicious.
It's a local speciality, a very old recipe.
Not at the moment, thank you.
Oh, just as you like. Perhaps later. I must say, when I heard you were staying here, gentlemen, it really did give me quite a thrill. I'm an avid reader of your work, Doctor.
You're very kind, Mr. Roundhead.
And the thought of actually meeting Mr. Holmes... Oh, and yourself, of course.
On holiday, are you?
Something of the sort.
Now, why else would they be here, Mr. Tregennis? Our little community has its faults, God knows, but serious crime is not one of them. Are you sure you won't take some more tea, Mr. Holmes?
It was extremely kind of him to invite us over.
He very nearly succeeded in boring me to death.
Oh, come on. It would at least have been a novel method of murder, to say nothing of disproving his comments about the purity of his parish. Yes. What did you make of Tregennis?
Just your typical taciturn Cornishman.
Yes, well, I dare say if I lodged with the Reverend Mr. Roundhay, I'd be subdued into silence, too.
Oh, brace yourself. I think we're about to meet another of the locals.
Yes, and at least this one isn't wielding a teapot and a cake stand.
Mm. He hasn't seen us. Good afternoon. Hello? That's odd. I could have sworn he was coming this way.
So he was.
Someone else who likes his own company.
I fancy we've just had a distant glimpse of the local celebrity.
Leon Sterndale? You really think so?
Oh, he certainly has the build. And it would explain his less than enthusiastic response to your greeting.
Ah, it would. Good Lord. Dr. Leon Sterndale. I thought he was still in Africa.
Perhaps he's finally succeeded in killing every lion on the continent.
He does do other things. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know half as much about the place as we do. Not to mention the scientific discoveries, the cultural information...
Well, Watson, please. Two cases of rampant hero worship in one afternoon is more than I can stand.
Oh, sorry.
You were supposed to be safeguarding my health, not endangering it. Mind you... Murder by over-enthusiasm. I don't believe that's ever been done.
Really, Holmes, can't you keep your mind off death, even on a lovely day like this?
Savage daylight. Harsh, deceitful. Cursed day that burns forever. When will this light be gone? When will the night return?
Wagner?
Wagner.
Yes, I thought so. I recognize the sense of humor. Well, that's better. Now, come on. Let's get you back.
Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Roundhay, Mr. Tregennis, what's happened?
It's a special providence that you're here, Mr. Holmes.
That's right enough, sir.
What has happened?
Gentlemen, Mr. Holmes has been very ill. He's here to rest.
But, Doctor, the most extraordinary and mysterious affair has occurred.
When I left them last night, they were well and happy.
Gentlemen, details.
Holmes!
Doctor, I appreciate your attitude, but, Mr. Holmes, in all England, you're the one man we need.
Mr. Tregennis, how did you hear about this tragedy?
I was out for a walk before breakfast. I met Dr. Richards. He was on his way there.
To Tredanic Water.
That's the name of the house.
Yes. He told me he'd been sent for. I went with him, naturally.
Did he know what was wrong at that stage?
No.
Who sent for him? Watson, why aren't you taking notes?
Holmes, you're not up to this.
Nonsense. Mr. Tregennis.
It was Mrs. Porter, the housekeeper.
She made the discovery.
She did, sir. And when I'd seen it for myself...
Well, the poor devil came back home to the vicarage, and I brought him straight to you. Easy, Mr. Tregennis. You must forgive him, gentlemen.
I think you'll have to pull to the side, Vicar.
Doctor?
There's another carriage coming.
Oh, there. Oh, my Lord. Mr. Tregennis.
It's all right, Vicar. I know who it is. Oh, God. George and Owen, my brothers. They've taken them to Helston, to the lunatic asylum.
The look on their faces, as if they'd seen some unspeakable horror.
My sister's face was the same, Doctor. Exactly the same. God rest her soul.
This is the room. Mrs. Porter found the three of them here when she came down this morning.
Sitting round the table?
For all the world, like they were still playing cards, she said.
And when you and the doctor arrived?
George and Owen hadn't made the least effort to move. And Brenda, of course...
Quite so. Stay there, please, while I examine the room. Holmes, are you all right? Yes, thank you. It's musty in here.
The smell of death. May the Lord grant her peace.
Yeah, Mr. Roundhay, please, wait in the doorway.
Of course. Forgive me.
Yes, there's too many people have trampled their way through this room already. Come in. Now, Mr. Tregennis, you were here last night.
I was, Mr. Holmes. I supped here, and afterwards George suggested a hand or two of whist.
Did you call here often?
From time to time.
So, you were on good terms with the rest of your family. Was that always the case?
Yes.
Mr. Holmes, is this quite
just
the
Mr. Roundhay, do you wish me to investigate this business or not?
Holmes, sit down.
Very well.
That's better. Now, gentlemen, I suggest that you contact the local police. This is a matter for them.
Really, Watson, what can some inexperienced village constable make of this, eh? This is an exceptional case. Doctor...
Very well. But no undue exertion,
madam. Certainly not. Thank you. Mr. Tregennis.
Sir.
Be so good as to answer my question.
I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes.
Your relationship with the rest of the family, Mr. Tregennis.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I can't deny that we were divided once.
Which is why you live separately and not in the family estate, even though there's more than enough room in this splendid old house.
Yes, sir.
The Tregennis family were tin miners, Mr. Holmes. They sold out to a company and there was, well, some feeling about the division of the money.
I see.
It was past and done with, all forgiven and forgotten, and we were the best of friends.
But why didn't you come back here?
I like my independence.
Yes, of course. Now, think back over yesterday evening. Does anything stand out in your memory? Well, think carefully.
There's nothing at all.
Your family were in their usual spirits?
Never better.
Were they nervous people? Did they ever seem afraid of anything in particular?
Nothing of the kind.
No, they were fine, upstanding members of the parish.
And nothing out of the common occurred while you were with them, Mr. Tregennis. Think.
Well...
Yes?
George? What's wrong?
I've dealt him another losing hand. That's what's wrong.
No, it's not that. I thought...
What, George?
I was sure I saw someone out in the lawn.
Where?
Can you see anyone, Mortimer?
I'm not sure. George?
No. Can't see a thing now. I was certain...
No more old Napoleon for you tonight.
It passed as unimportant, and we went on with our game.
What time was this?
Oh... around 9:30, or 10 at the latest. I left soon after.
Who let you out?
Mrs. Porter had gone to bed. I let myself out.
Did you shut the front door behind you?
Of course.
Yes. Now, this window, was it closed last night?
And fastened.
Who opened it?
Mrs. Porter, when she came in here this morning.
You asked her about it?
She mentioned it, said she wanted to let in some air.
Perfectly understandable, surely.
Yes, a pity, nonetheless. No matter. So... There were no signs that any stranger came into the house last night.
None whatsoever.
What were your brothers and sister doing as you left, Mr. Tregennis?
Just starting one last hand. George was for going to bed, but Brenda insisted. Oh, God, if she hadn't been so wide awake, she might still be alive.
Oh, don't torment yourself so, my friend.
Oh, my apologies, gentlemen. I'm not myself.
I'm sure we can make this as brief as possible for you, Mr. Tregennis.
Certainly. Now, who was sitting where?
I had my back to the window. George was opposite me, Owen there, and Brenda on my right, next to the fire.
Why was... Excuse me. Why was there a fire at this time of year? The room isn't large.
But the night was cold. It rained, you recall.
Yes, of course. Your brother George was sitting here, you say?
That's right, opposite me. We were partners.
His view of the garden is an interesting one. Outside, gentlemen. You see how the window is masked by those bushes? Yes, to be seen from George Tregennis's chair, the figure must have been somewhere within this area. Now, Mr. Tregennis, show me exactly where you think it was standing.
Well, that's not easy. I'd no more than a glimpse, what with the rain and all. I couldn't even be sure if it were a man or beast.
Yes. Now, is this the place on the path? Holmes, watch out for the... Watering can. Dear Mr. Tregennis, my apologies.
No matter. Here, let me put this out of arm's way.
So clumsy of me. You see, you're not yourself at all. Better, Doctor? Yes, well, I've finished out here.
Perhaps you'd like to talk to the housekeeper.
No, there's something else I'd like to see first.
She must have been a beautiful woman.
That she was, Doctor. And now look at her face.
This is just the vessel, my friend. Her soul is at peace.
Did Dr. Richards examine her, Mr. Tregennis?
He did, sir.
With what result?
He couldn't find any signs of injury or illness. He said as far as he was concerned, she should still be alive.
Was he able to estimate the time of death?
He reckoned she'd been gone about 6 hours, Doctor.
6 hours?
About that, I'd say, Mortimer.
But...
Yes.
What in God's name could have done this?
I don't know. I have never... Never...
Doctor!
He was really that affected?
Well, the poor chap had obviously never seen the like before. And he's not a young man.
I believe we should go back downstairs now.
A terrible tragedy, my friend.
Yes, Vicar, it is that.
So much of her life still before her. So much to look forward to. Requiescat in pace.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Watson, I'd like you to speak to the housekeeper while I have another look at the sitting room. See if I can salvage something from the mess.
Yes, of course.
Mr. Holmes, do you have the least clue? What in the name of heaven can have happened here?
Oh, what indeed? What can have blasted 2 grown men out of their senses and shocked a fit and healthy woman into death?
That's hellish, Mr. Holmes. Hellish.
My dear sir.
I tell you, it's not of this world. It's the work of the devil.
Let's sit here for a while.
Yes, of course.
Well, what did you learn from the housekeeper?
Mrs. Porter?
Hmm.
She heard nothing at all during the night. She's willing to swear to it.
Is she a reliable witness?
Oh, she's very upset by the whole business, of course. Still very shaky.
But you think she's to be trusted?
Yes, I do. She's completely adamant. No one and nothing could have entered that house last night without her knowledge.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're surely not subscribing to the supernatural theory, too.
No, of course not.
Good. If this matter's beyond humanity, it's certainly beyond me. I think we should exhaust the natural explanations before we fall back on that particular theory.
It still doesn't have to be a person. Suppose it was an animal of some kind.
Something so horrific that it sent them mad.
Some sort of unknown species.
Which left absolutely no traces of its visit.
What else is there? Did you find anything significant in the room?
No. 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 Let's get a firm grip on what little we do know. Then, when fresh facts arise, we'll be ready to fit them into their places, huh?
Well.
Now, when did this tragedy occur?
Well, sometime after Mortimer Tregennis left the house.
Or even more accurate than that.
Oh?
Whatever took place, it happened immediately after he left the room, at the most, a few minutes afterwards.
How can you be so sure?
Well, the cards were still on the table. They hadn't changed their positions or even pushed back their chairs.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Tregennis said... just a minute. Yes, here we are. They were just starting one last hand. George was for going to bed,
but Brenda insisted.
One final hand wouldn't have taken them long. Treguinis left at around 10:15, so the incident was probably no later than 10:30 last night.
If someone was lurking around, you'd have thought Treguinis might have seen them as he left.
Yeah, it's unlikely. Well, given the darkness and the rain. He didn't linger. He walked away swiftly in the direction of the vicarage. The tracks were perfectly clear, once I knew which were his.
I like the way you got an impression of his boots. Once I realized.
It took you long enough. I wasn't flattered that you thought I was so far gone that I was falling over things.
Were there any signs of this mysterious figure outside the window?
None whatsoever.
Why were you so surprised at how long Brenda Treguinis had been dead?
My reaction wasn't surprise.
What then?
The doctor examined her at, 8 o'clock. And the time of death was 6 hours earlier.
At, 2 in the morning. Oh, my God.
Exactly. Whatever happened occurred at 10:30. So, that wretched woman suffered the most appalling agonies for over 3 hours before she finally gave up the struggle and died.
Holmes.
What is it?
We're being observed.
Ah, you've noticed him at last. He's been watching us for several minutes.
You are Mr. Sherlock Holmes, the detective.
And you are Dr. Leon Sterndale, the explorer.
Have you made any advance?
Dr. Sterndale, we are here on holiday.
My friend and companion, Dr. John Watson.
Good morning.
I say again, have you solved this mystery? Well, tell me, sir.
What do you know of this affair, Dr. Sterndale?
What claim have you on our confidence?
I've come to know this Treguinis family very well. On my mother's side, I could call them cousins.
Indeed.
And their strange fate has naturally been a great shock to me.
Naturally.
I may tell you, sir, that I was on my way to Africa. But when the news reached me this morning in Plymouth, I came straight back to help in this inquiry.
What about your boat?
I'll take the next.
Dear me. Well, that's friendship indeed.
I tell you, they were relatives.
On your mother's side. Was your luggage already aboard?
Some of it. Most were still at the hotel.
Surely this event couldn't have found its way into the Plymouth papers already.
No, sir. I had a telegram.
Might I ask from whom?
You are very inquisitive, Mr. Holmes.
It's my business.
Well, I've no objection to telling you it was from Mr. Roundhay, the vicar.
Thank you. Now, to answer your original question...
Yes.
I've not cleared my mind entirely on the case, but I've every hope of reaching some conclusion.
Do your suspicions point in any particular direction?
I can hardly answer that.
Well, I've wasted my time.
Fascinating.
He was damnably rude. Shall we go?
Wait for me at the cottage.
Whatever you say.
A policeman's lot is not a happy one. Happy one.
Hello. Good God.
Holmes! Holmes!
We are devil-ridden. My poor parish.
Yes.
Devil-ridden.
Easy, Mr. Roundhead.
Yes, sit down.
Satan himself is loose.
Sit down. Calm yourself.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's better. Now, tell us, what's wrong? What's happened?
The same symptoms. The exact same symptoms. Mr. Mortimer Treguinis is dead.
You're sure nothing's been touched? Nothing?
Nothing. I gave strict orders.
Excellent.
Good God.
He has this room and the bedroom above.
Have you sent for Dr. Richard?
And the police?
Yes, well, they must work fast before they arrive. Has that window been open all night?
No, my maid did it this morning.
I thought you said that nothing had been touched.
The atmosphere was horrible.
Oh, yes. Look at this lamp. Oh, it's run dry.
The wick's burning. It smells dreadful.
Watson, don't touch it. Your notebook. Oh, Vicar, was it your maid who found the body?
Yes, poor girl.
Yes, where is she now?
I sent her back to bed. She was dreadfully pale.
I may need to speak to her later. Watson?
Ready?
Ready, very good. Now, the lamp, as you said, still flaring. This is near oil. Wick burned down to just under half its depth. And the fire not being lit. Dead man fully clothed but dressed in a hurry. Had his bed been slept in?
Yes, it had.
What time did he retire?
Well, just gone midnight. We sat up together. I tried to give him what comfort I could.
Dead man leaning back in his chair, hands on the edge of the table. Spectacles pushed up onto his forehead, face turned toward the window.
Good Lord above. Could he have seen something out there, too?
Vicar, please. This is the time for facts, not speculation. Now, where was I? Watson?
A face turned towards the window.
The window, yes, yes. Features distorted and twisted. Yes, exactly like those of his sister. Limbs convulsed, fingers interlocked and... That's rigid. No perceptible odour. There's no staining of the skin. No visible wounds. Show me his bedroom. Watson, an envelope. Quickly, quickly.
Here.
Thank you. Flint. Excellent.
Any notes for up here?
No.
Oh, I can see Dr. Richard's carriage.
And then I suggest you go and wait for him while I take another look downstairs.
Holmes, surely you've looked at that lamp enough.
Yes, almost, Doctor, almost. Envelope, please. Yes, thank you.
He's here. 60-ish. Not too strong. Old-fashioned. Set in his ways. Typical small village country doctor.
Yes, indeed. Good. Excellent.
Any last notes?
Yes. One moment, my dear fellow.
What did I miss?
I wasn't looking at the doctor. This windowsill's far more interesting.
What have you found?
What I expected to find.
Holmes!
And that, I think, is everything.
Is it finished?
Exactly as you ordered.
Splendid.
Good walk?
Yes. Most productive.
Good.
Your result.
This lamp is the exact duplicate of the one in Tregennis's room. It's the only sort they stock in the village shop.
The oil?
Same thing. They're supplied to the vicarage.
Yes, excellent. Yes. And the timings?
From a full reservoir of fuel, the oil runs out after 2 hours and 30 minutes. That's when the wick starts to catch. It takes another 15 and a half minutes, give or take the odd second, for the wick to be burnt down as far as this.
Exactly the same amount of charring as on Tregennis's lamp.
So the maximum time that one could have been burning was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Now, we were there at 9. Subtract 2 and 3/4 hours and we get 6:15 in the morning.
And that's the earliest the lamp could have been put on. Well after first light.
Exactly. The lamp was lit when no lamp was necessary. Well done, Watson. Your usual invaluable help.
Thank you. But I have to confess, I'm no nearer a solution. Why was the lamp lit?
Ask yourself this. What are the common factors in both tragedies?
The expressions of horror, the twisted limbs.
What else?
The victims were related.
What else?
Both occurred in closed rooms.
Excellent. Two more parallels.
I can't see them.
Exactly. Concentrate on another sense.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
The atmosphere in each room.
By God, you're right. The air at the Tregennis's was awful.
The doctor fell ill, and so did the housekeeper.
And so did the vicar's maid, and so did I, even hours afterwards, and with the windows open. Oh, you were most solicitous about my cough, and the final similarity. Combustion going on in the room. The Tregennis family had a fire.
And the vicarage had a lamp. Of course.
Something, some substance was burned in each case. Something placed in the fire and on the lamp. Brenda Tregennis was sitting right next to the fireplace.
And she died. Her brothers were less affected.
Mortimer Tregennis was sitting not a foot from the lamp. And he, too, died.
It really is devilish. What can this substance be?
It's this.
Where did you get that?
From the smoke guard on Mortimer Tregennis's lamp. There were ashes in the middle and these unburnt crystals around the edge. I took half.
Half?
Well, it's not for me to stand in the way of the official police force. The poison was there, if they had the wit to find it.
Those appalling symptoms from just a tiny handful of crystals. It's hard to credit.
Yeah. There, is one final test we can make.
Yes, there is.
We must light the lamp.
And burn the crystals.
Exactly. We will, however, take some precautions. The window's already open, and we'll have the door ajar as well. Now, Watson, if you sit just here, near the window, unless, of course, well, like a sensible man, you'll have nothing to do with this.
If I say no, you'll do it alone, won't you?
It's necessary.
Then we'll see it out together.
I thought I knew my Watson. Now, if you'll refill the lamp.
Certainly.
Yes, now my chair goes here. Yes, so we'll be, be facing each other.
And at the slightest sign.
Oh, or at least when the symptoms seem
the alarming. Slightest sign, Holmes. Then either one of us must bring this experiment to an end.
With the window and door open, we should have ample warning. Now, I'll light the lamp.
Yes, now you take your seat, Doctor. Very well.
Are you ready?
Ready.
So be it.
Let us die and never part.
Together for the rest of time.
No more waking.
No more fearing.
Nameless,
endless, loving, sharing.
Thank God. Holmes! Can you hear me? Holmes! Awesome! Holmes! You pulled me out. You pulled me out of the... I did. I owe you my thanks. And an apology. Oh, it was an unjustifiable experiment. Even for myself. For a friend, I really am. I'm very sorry.
You know that it's my greatest joy and privilege to help you.
It would be superfluous to drive us mad, my dear Watson. A candid observer would certainly declare that we were mad already.
Oh. How are you feeling?
I'll never again question your judgment when natural remedies are concerned. I've recovered enough for a short walk, I think.
A walk? Are you sure?
Quite sure. Come on. Let's go together.
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely sure.
I do not receive visitors.
You'll receive us. It's as well that we talk here, in private, where there can be no eavesdropping.
What can there be to talk about that requires such privacy?
I think you know that.
I've lived so long among savages and beyond the law that I've got into the way of being a law unto myself. You'll do well not to forget it. I've no desire to do you an injury.
Nor are you, Dr. Sterndale, which is why I've come here and not to the police.
What do you mean?
You know perfectly well what I mean. And my next step depends entirely on the nature of your defence.
My defence? My defence against what?
Against the charge of killing Mortimer Tregennis.
Do all your successes depend on this sort of bluffing?
I depend only on the truth, sir. The facts. Facts such as your return from Plymouth.
I came back to assist
in
the inquiry.
I've heard your reasons. They're unconvincing and inadequate. Facts such as your subsequent actions. After I refused to tell you my suspicions, you went to the vicarage. You waited outside it for some time and only then returned to your cottage.
How do you know that?
I followed you.
I saw no one.
That is what you may expect to see when I follow you. You spent a restless night at your cottage and you formed certain plans. Just before daybreak, you left by the front door, grabbing a handful of gravel from the pile heaped by your gate.
Oh, this is
you
ridiculous!
You walked swiftly to the vicarage. Once there, you passed through the orchard and along by the side hedge until you were under Mortimer Tregennis's bedroom. It was just daylight, but no one was awake. You took some of the gravel and threw it at the window. It took three handfuls before he opened it and looked down.
You are the devil himself.
Thank you for the compliment.
Who's there? What do you want?
Come down here, Tregennis. Unless you want me to bring you down.
Wait there.
He dressed hurriedly and came down to his sitting room. You entered by the window. There was an interview, a short one, during which you walked rapidly up and down.
You were there. No one was there.
You lit the lamp and added the crystals. Then you went out the same way you'd entered. Your final act was to smoke a cigar and stand by the window watching what was happening inside. Then you left.
I told him that if he moved an inch from the table, I'd shoot him. But he didn't move. He was paralyzed at the sight of my revolver. Paralyzed with fear.
For God's sake, man, why? Why?
This is why.
Brenda Tregennis.
But it doesn't make sense. Her brother had to die because you'd already killed her.
I didn't kill her. I didn't kill her. He did.
Good God above.
His plan was to kill all three of them, and then the grieving brother would reluctantly inherit the estate.
He killed her for money. For money and for property. Stupid, empty, meaningless things. For years I've loved Brenda Tregennis. For years she's loved me. People have marveled that I buried myself away in this place. Yes, well, now you know why. It held the one thing on earth that was dear to me.
Why did you never marry?
I am married. To a wife who left me years ago and whom, by the deplorable laws of England, I could not divorce.
And so you waited.
Yes, both of us waited. And this is what we've waited for.
The vicar knew, of course, hence his telegram to you in Plymouth.
What was Africa to me then? It was Africa that made her death so unspeakable.
The poison.
Look at this. I understand that you're a doctor, sir.
Yes, I am.
Have you ever heard of this?
Radix pedis diaboli. Devil's foot root. No, never. Holmes?
No.
Well, it's no reflection on you. I believe there's no other sample in Europe. The root itself is shaped like a cloven hoof. These crystals. Well, I think you know what they do. It's used as an ordeal poison by a tribe in Western Africa.
How in the world did Tregennis know about it?
I told him. Well, for Brenda's sake, I was friendly with her brothers. I told him what it could do, and I showed him where I kept it. And when my back was turned, Mortimer Tregennis was a sly, subtle, scheming man. Only such a man could plan such a crime.
As he left the sitting room, he passed the fireplace. It must have been the work of a second.
And all that business about seeing someone outside the house. Lies.
As false as his tears, all designed to divert our suspicion.
He couldn't divert me. When I heard the details, I'd told no one else about the crystals. I knew at once who was responsible and why. And what his punishment must be.
Why didn't you go to the police? Tell them what you knew.
My soul cried out for revenge. What he did to my love, it had to be done to him. Nothing else would be just.
You stood and watched him die.
Oh, my God, how he died. But my heart was flint. There's my story, gentlemen. You can take what steps you like. In all England, there's no man who sets less value on his life than I do.
What were your plans?
I had intended to bury myself in Central Africa. My work there's only half done.
Go and do the other half.
The best medicine in the world.
Save possibly for work.
Perhaps.
You wouldn't denounce the man?
Certainly not.
Quite so. I have never loved Watson. But if I did, and if the woman I loved had met such an end, I might act even as our lawless lion hunter has done. Who knows?
In The Devil's Foot, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams. With Patrick Allen as Dr. Leon Sterndale, Jeffrey Beavers as the Reverend Roundhay, and Sean Arnold as Mortimer Tregennis. Brenda Tregennis was played by Diana Payan, Owen Tregennis by David Thorpe, George Tregennis by Colin Pinney, and Dr. Richards by Barry J. Gordon. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Devil's Foot was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.